Everything flows from God's word. Everything flows from that source. It's the wisdom for our lives. It's the foundation that we build on. And in a world where nobody really has got a clue what's going on, there's one thing which remains the same, which is God's word. It doesn't change. So we feel that's really important. But the other thing is, we don't feel like that God has just spoken once and written it down years ago for our benefit today. We believe that he is still speaking. He is the God who speaks. And a number of Sundays ago, somebody brought a word, a prophetic word on Sunday for us, which, and we have numbers of prophetic words where God speaks in a now moment. But I felt actually that this word, and we as a team felt this word, is very significant for us as a church. And Pete Barris brought this word in. Let me just read it to us. In Luke 4, he says, Jesus is speaking about a promise and a fulfillment of Jubilee by stating, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Jubilee is something about reconciliation, healing, renewal, weights lifted, debts cancelled and hope restored, a year of God's favour. Where Jesus speaks, he's proclaiming Jubilee, not that it is coming, but that it has arrived. I feel that there are several strands that God was speaking. Firstly, that very simply, for some in the congregation, there is a Jubilee available. Whatever weighs you down, whatever has broken or restricted you, debt or broken relationships or illness or hopelessness, God is offering his Jubilee to you. Secondly, I felt that to many of us, God would say that Jubilee has come. In the essence, he speaks. The scripture is fulfilled in your hearing and is asking, what's your life going to look like after Jubilee? I felt like God was saying this phrase, after Jubilee. What does it look like to function with this reconciliation, debt cancelled, weight lifted off? He would say, live like it is after Jubilee. The implication, because it is after Jubilee. And so I felt like it would be important for us just to earth that word, to look at it in more detail. Because for many of us, what's Jubilee? Jubilee is when the Queen gets old and we stand in the rain with a fake smile on our face. And that's Jubilee for us. And I remember the recent Jubilee watching because I was hardcore, I stayed at home and watched it on the TV. And watching the boats go down the bars and watching this interview with these artists who are painting these amazing pictures in the rain. And they were trying to interview them. And the rain was pouring down, the water's pouring down. They're trying to talk about this picture, which you could barely see. And the rain was pouring down, the umbrella's blowing. And then the wind blows and flaps it in half. And he peels it back. And he says, don't worry, I'll patch that up. I mean, there was no patching it up. I mean, it was just totally wrecked. And for most of us, that's Jubilee. It's that kind of thing related to the Queen somewhere, isn't it? But actually, this section of scripture is incredibly important for us as Christians. And I felt like because of that word, we felt it was really important for us to look into it in more depth. And it's actually found in the book of Leviticus. Now, the book of Leviticus is an interesting book. It's the third book of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, and Leviticus. And it's the one that most Christians use as a cure for insomnia. Just being honest, if you can't sleep, you know, and the medication isn't helping, just start reading Leviticus, because it is a little bit like that. And for many of you, you had good intentions, didn't you? You wanted to read the Bible. You said, right, this year I'm going to read the Bible. And you got through Genesis and you thought, yes, brilliant, Genesis, awesome. You got through Exodus and you thought, this is fantastic. And you got to Leviticus and you thought, oh. And you got to chapter 2 and you got to chapter 3 and then you got to chapter 4 and you were unconscious. And that was it, because you thought, how does this relate to my life today? Well, I'm not being disorienting to the scriptures, because actually there's some stuff in there that's hard for us to understand. But right in the midst of it, and this is the irony of God, in chapter 25, for the hardcore who made it past all the other chapters, there is a moment in Leviticus that's probably one of the most important moments in the whole of scripture, buried into Leviticus chapter 25. So let's have a look at this chapter. And if you have a Bible, you can turn. If not, it's on the screen. We've got to be careful as we apply this, of course, because the scriptures say that all scripture, all of the Bible is God-breathed. It's helpful for us, profitable for teaching. But that doesn't necessarily mean that we can apply every passage literally in the same way. Some passages are meant to be like that. Others are a different type of literature. And Jesus said to the leaders in his day, he said, look, you search the scriptures and you're crazy, because the whole scripture is talking about me. So as we look at this passage, we have to look, as it were, through two lenses. One is the lens of, what does this tell us about Christ and what he has done? That's what's relevant to us. And there's some massive truths in here. And the second is, what's God saying to King's Arms this year? If he says specifically, this year is a year of Jubilee, what is this year going to mean differently for us in terms of these things? So let's read this in the light of that, and let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for Leviticus, and we repent for our bad attitude over the years. And we say, God, will you speak powerfully to us this morning through this passage? We thank you for Pete's word and for his faithfulness in bringing it. And we pray, Lord, let that word resonate and literally change this church and change our lives off the back of it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Leviticus 25, you shall sound, says the Lord, a loud trumpet on the 10th day of the 7th month. On the Day of Atonement. Now, the Day of Atonement was the day when the high priest sacrificed two lambs for the sins of all the people. He would do it once a year. That was the Day of Atonement. You shall sound the trumpet throughout all your land, and you shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you when each of you shall return to his property and each to his clan. That 50th year shall be a jubilee for you, and in it you shall neither sow nor reap what grows of itself, nor gather the grapes from the undressed vines. For it is a jubilee, it shall be holy, but you may eat the produce from the land. Let's just pause there. You see, jubilee was the sound of a trumpet. It was like a line in the sand. Life was going on. It was normal. Buying and selling, growing and harvesting. Life was normal. But then God said, once in 50 years, there is to be this special year, a holy year, which is to be a jubilee for you. It was an unusual year. It was like a line in the sand. And there was two words from that passage that really stand out, that really capture the essence of jubilee. The two words are release. I've forgotten the other one. The two words are release and return. Release and return. Liberty and return. These two words are the essence of what Jubilee is about. And when Jesus came, he borrowed from this language. That was the passage that Pete was referring to, but he didn't read. In Luke chapter 4, he borrows from that language and he says, God has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to send away in release those who are oppressed. And so when we look at this passage of Jubilee, what we're looking at is a God who says, I am coming to bring release, release and return, release for those in captivity and return of that which has been stolen or been taken from you. It's a rare word that Jesus used, and it's the same one. And so if you wonder what the cross is all about, if you wonder what Christ came to do, it's summed up in those two words, release and return. This is relevant for every single one of us. This is not just some out there theology from the depths of the Bible. This is critical for every one of us as we live our lives. Release and return. And when Christ came, he came to bring about release and return. Release and just say to the person next to you, just say release and return, just to shut me up. Release and return, just so I know you've got the point. And so we see this release. We see this return in our day in part. I was at a meeting recently, and a girl said, she said, I had a terrible relationship with my mother. My mother was sick from when I was born. I always thought it was my fault. Our relationship was incredibly dysfunctional. At 13, she went into hospital with a mental illness. Our relationship was completely broken. And she said, at this time, today, she said, God has done something in my heart. I was able to forgive her for some stuff that she's done. And I could not wait to, I can't wait, she said, to go home and be reconciled with my mother. That is jubilee right there. That's what this is about. It's about a restoration of that which has been robbed and stolen. And so, as it were, God, I think, is to us as a church, he's drawing a line under the sand. And he's saying, guys, this is a year of this. This is a year of release and return. Things are going to be different after this year than they were before. I tell your face, that should make you happy. Okay, verse 13 says this. In this year of Jubilee, each of you shall return to his property, and if you make a sale to your neighbor or buy from your neighbor, you shall not wrong one another. You shall not wrong one another, it says in verse 17, but you shall fear your God, because I am the Lord your God. Notice that this second theme that comes out is this sense of the fear of God comes in the year of Jubilee. It's a sense of changing our behavior to one another because we fear God. What he was saying to them was, there are things that maybe you've done, maybe things that you've been caught up with that are just wrong. And the year of Jubilee was like a line in the sand. It was like a point where you say, do you know what? I never intended to get to this point in my life. I never intended to treat people the way that I'm treating people. I'm going to draw a line under the sand and I'm going to change my behavior. Why? Because I fear God. I might even have got away with it. It might be fine. Nobody might even know. But because I fear God, Jubilee is like a reminder that says, no, there's a line in the sand now. I'm going to change from this point forward in the way that I treat one another, other people, because I fear my God. And it's interesting that in this year of Jubilee, there's implications for us because, of course, Jesus, when he came as it were, the great high priest, he came to transform our relationships. And I think God would say this year for us as a family, it's time to put things right. I felt him say to us, you know what, there's some grey ways of behaving that if you just got look back at the start of your Christian life and thought, I would still be doing that in 10 years' time, you would be disappointed. There's some ways of behaving, there's some ways of thinking. I feel like he would say, in this year, it's the year of Jubilee, it's time to stop. It's time to say, I never wanted to be doing this. I never thought I would be. I've just got into bad habits. I've just got into bad ways of thinking. I've just let things slip, let things slide, and I want to change. I want this to be a year of Jubilee. And whatever it might be for you, I felt like there was numerous different things. Maybe there's some dodgy, slightly grey financial practices. Maybe there's some ways of relating in your family. You just thought, gosh, take a break. You know, stop. Draw a line in the sand. Is this the kind of family that we want? Do we want to talk to one another like this? Do we want to speak to one another? Is that how we want to behave? It's that kind of feeling that I'm getting. That sense of, because you can just go on, can't you? And you can deal with kind of the big sins, you know, the ones that notice and everyone shouts at you for. But the other ones, those just a little kind of slightly grey but not too bad, those kind of things can just build up a residue. And I think that's why Jubilee is important. It's like a line in the sand that says, do you know what? I don't want that. I fear God. I want to be holy. I don't want to just be slightly holy. I want to be holy. I want to change this stuff. And I found a number of years ago, I had some of these moments. I've had numerous ones over the years. But one, when I'd got into the habit of, I realized that I could copy DVDs off of, I could copy movies off of video onto my computer. So I had them all there and the kids could watch any movie they wanted on my computer. It was amazing. And then I noticed, oh, you can actually download some of those for free as well. And I had a few of those. And so then suddenly, without realizing, I suddenly had a whole video collection, most of which I owned. But there was a few in there that, well, yeah, I've seen it, so I kind of own it. And there's that kind of feeling. And I just felt the Lord say to me one day, Simon, is it worth it? Is it worth it? And I thought, it's not. I don't want to be that kind of person. Slightly grey on the edges. It was only one or two or maybe 10. You know how it is. Oh, it's only one or two, and then you look and you think, oh, flip, it's like 20. You know, it's that kind of, it's only a slight tweak to the tax return. I mean, everyone's doing it. But inside, you know, just because everyone's doing it doesn't mean to say that I should do it. It's that kind of integrity check that Year of Jubilee calls for, and I felt that the Lord would say this is the time to do it. Because we can't get God's results if we're using man's methods. That's the important thing, and we'll see that as coming up. So verse 18 says, therefore you shall do my statutes and keep my rules and perform them, and you'll dwell in the land securely. The land will yield its fruit, and you'll eat the fill and dwell in it securely. And if you say, what shall we eat in the seventh year? Notice that God has said to him, you shan't harvest at all. You shan't harvest in that. You shan't sow in that year, which meant the next year they would not be able to eat at all. So this was a vulnerable thing. If you say, what shall we eat in the seventh year if we can't sow or gather? I will command my blessing on you in the sixth year so that it will produce a crop sufficient for 3 years. And when you sow in the eighth year, you will be eating of the old crop. You shall eat the old until the ninth year when its crop comes through. Well, what's the big point? The big point is in the year of the Jubilee, it's time to trust God for supernatural provision. That's why we sometimes get into these grey things, isn't it? Because fundamentally, we don't trust God. And so we try and do our own stuff and our own things. And many of you might not even be a Christian here this morning, but you realize you've just accumulated a whole load of stuff. And I would say to you this morning, God is trustworthy. He is trustworthy. He comes through. I forget it as a Christian sometimes. But I think God is reminding us all. He said, do you know what? I'm coming through. I am coming through with supernatural provision for you. Jubilee was not possible without the supernatural blessing of God. God said, I'm going to give you an unusually productive year to enable this to happen. And so I feel like God would say to us on this, just in the same way as Christ came and announced the great jubilee, the great trumpet, as it were, that the year of God's favor has come and did impossible things, things that could not otherwise be done, that got us free from things that we couldn't possibly get free from. Just like that, we're to expect that this year. We're to expect God's extraordinary breaking in with provision in all sorts of different ways. Some of you guys are teenagers. You are facing impossible situations in your family, in your home situation. This is the year of Jubilee. This is the year to hope again for transformation in those situations. Some of you, it's your friendship group. Some of you, it's with exams, or it's like, am I going to get a job? God would say, this is the year to trust me for Jubilee, for me to do something extraordinary. For other of us, it's marriage situations or finance situations. It's that sense of the weight. That's what Jubilee was. It was a line in the sand. And the things that you kind of, you know, you carry a weight, and after a while you just get used to it. You just get used to carrying it. And Jubilee says, no, enough. God says, I'm going to provide financially for you. I remember a guy came 1 year to a meeting, and he'd been hospitalized by his own father on numbers of occasions, at least two that I remember him talking about. And he, in that setting, he just had never been able to call God Father, even though he'd been a Christian for many years. And in that setting, God just broke in, and he was able to call. I mean, it was noisy. It was loud. As years of grief and pain, an impossible situation, got broken in his heart, and he was able for the first time to call God Father. To see that God was not like his dad, but he was a good father. And he just had massive breakthrough. He came back 2 or 3 years later, and he said, the good news as well, he said, not only can I call God Father, he said, my own relationship with my father has begun to be reconciled in the last 3 years. You see, there's something about the impossibility of dysfunctional, broken relationship that God is saying this year, trust me. Trust me for supernatural breakthrough in those situations. And then verse 25 says this, the land shall not be sold in perpetuity, for the land is mine. For you are strangers and temporary residents with me. And in all the country you possess, you shall allow a redemption of the land. A redemption means to buy back. If your brother becomes poor and sells part of his property, then his nearest redeemer shall come and redeem what his brother has sold. If a man has no one to redeem it, and then himself becomes prosperous and finds sufficient means to redeem it, then let him calculate the years since it's been sold and pay back the balance to the man to whom he sold it. Let him return to his property. But if he's not sufficient means to recover, then what he has sold shall remain in the hand of the buyer until the year of Jubilee. Because in the year of Jubilee, it shall be released, and he shall return to his property. And the next few verses go on and say the same thing. The principle was this. It was a principle of return for that which belongs to us. That's what Jubilee was about. It was a return of that which belonged. And it was a breaking free from indebtedness. You can imagine the situation, can't you, that wealthy landowners would just gain more and more and more and more property, and the rich would get richer and richer, and the poor would get poorer and poorer. And God's design for that, God's way of breaking that system, was to say, no, every 50 years, the slate gets wiped clean. Notice, he doesn't say, there's no judgment about how that happened. There's no judgment about how you got into debt, about what a mess you've made of your life. There's no judgment about that. That's the glorious thing about the cross. We come to the one who brings the great jubilee on level ground, and he does not judge us in that place. He just welcomes us. So there's no judgment, and there was no judgment for how they'd got into this negative financial situation. It was just basically this. If you can redeem it before Jubilee, great. But if not, then at Jubilee, it all gets wiped out. It all gets wiped out at Jubilee. And so there's some massive implications for us. You know, we live under this umbrella now of Jubilee, of the fact that we can be released from the debt that we owe, the debt of sin. And like the Israelites, when God said, you're travelers, you're temporary residents, that's why he said you can't sell the land permanently, Peter reminds us that we are travelers. We're travelers through this land. We're temporary residents. And so we can live with that sense of, do you know what? This is all in God's hands anyway. This is all his anyway. Jim Elliot said this before he was martyred. He is no fool to give up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And there's something about Jubilee that says in Jubilee, in that year of Jubilee, there's a coming together. There was an honesty. Imagine there must have been an honesty to say, do you know what? I've got in our family, myself, we've got in a mess in the last 50 years. But I want us as a community to, will you help me sort it out? That was the reality. And I think it's the same for us. I think there's going to be a year here where God gives us an opportunity to sort ourselves out. There's a year of coming into the light and saying, do you know what? We've made a mess in certain areas. Some of you, it's going to be moral areas where you've just made a mess. You've been covering it up. You've been hiding it under. Nobody knows. And this year is going to be the year where, do you know what? You come up into the open. You find a trusted friend and say, I just want to get this sorted out. I just want to get this sorted out. For others, and I feel this is particularly pertinent, is that there's some areas of financial mess that are just going to get cleared up this year. You know, we don't know what God is doing in terms of the nations, but what we do know is that the whole planet is being shaken financially. It is time, guys, to get ready. We don't know what's going to happen. It might all be good and there'll be no problems. It might be that things are going to get a lot worse. And I want to say this. The church has got to be ready. We've got to be ready financially, because there are going to be people who will be destitute potentially without our help if things get bad like they have before. Are we ready? And I feel like this year of Jubilee, this trumpet call, is a wake-up call to us to say, guys, get ready. Get ready, because we don't know what's going to happen. I'm not prophesying doom and gloom. I'm not prophesying glory. What I'm saying is, I feel the wake-up call is get ready for whatever may come. And so I feel like there may be a need to be a time as a community of honesty and openness. Let me start. Caroline and I, we have made some financial decisions in the last couple of years, some of whom one was to take a loan for a car, another was to do something else. And at the time, it all added up. Do you know what I mean? The numbers all added up. Looking at it today, what we realize is that debt is like a weight round our necks, and it's limiting our generosity of spirit. Do you know what I mean? It's not unpayable. It's not this and I'm not saying I've got a, 500,000 quid of credit card bills. Oops, sorry guys, I've not. No, it's not that. We can pay it, but what I've realized is it's like a weight. It's like something around our necks, and it's doable, but it just is giving a lack of liberty to our spirits. In financial generosity, there's a need comes up and we're so close to the wire. We're like, oh, gosh, it's that kind of feeling. I'm just being honest with you guys. And I feel like God would say, Simon, A, you need to change the way you did that planning. And we've had to repent of that, and I've repented of that. I think I led us as a kind of leader in our family. I've led us down the wrong road, and I've repented of that. But B, I feel like God is saying, in his grace, let's get that sorted out. Get ready. Now, there may be others here. If you were honest as well, you'd be you don't have to stand up now. Thank you, Jesus. It's not that kind of church. But what I'm saying is, as a community together, notice in this, it was the rich helping the poor. There was a kind of equality that came. There was a unity that came as people were honest. Now, I'm not saying be honest in your small group and people are going to pay off your 10 grand worth of debt. They might do. They might not. What there is a need for honesty to say, we are not ready if things get much worse than this. God, can you help us get ready? Remember the promise of sovereign breaking in, of him doing that which we thought was impossible. A friend of mine, he had a debt, I think it was around 10 grand or so. And God said to him, by the end of this year, you're going to be debt free. And he thought to himself, that's just impossible. But he was. God broke in amazingly and he was debt free. So I think there's something about the spiritual, but I think there's also something about the practical. Are we ready? Because we want to be a generous church. There's some corporate implications for us, which I'm going to, in terms of our debt financially as a church, and I'm going to talk about those on family night on Thursday, so if you want to hear that, you can come. But there's some other implications, I think, about this word. But I just want to talk personally right now, because it's a time both for us personally and corporately to respond to the Lord. This is a year of Jubilee. Notice also that there was a sense of restoration of inheritance. And I felt like, as I was praying, I was saying, God, you know, Jubilee is massive. You can talk about any number of things. I felt like God was saying, there's some of you here, you have been robbed of inheritance, and God is going to restore it. You've been robbed of inheritance, and I feel like the Lord is going to restore it. And you're to just have that expectation in your spirit of a restoration of inheritance. It might be spiritual inheritance. It might be financial inheritance. I'm not promising anything. I'm just saying, let's see what God will do. Let's start to record the stories together as a community and see if this is not an extraordinary year of God pouring out inheritance. Some of you have been robbed of a father. Your inheritance was that you never had a father. Some of you were robbed of a mother. Some of you, you've been robbed of literally financial inheritance. I feel like God would say, wait and see what I will do. Jubilee is a year of extraordinary breakthrough. Let's wait with expectancy. He's a good father. He can repay us in many ways. And then some of you, it's restoration of other things that belong to you in God. It's joy. It's life. It's energy. It's something that you've just been tolerating for so long. And I feel like this might be a year where God says, Jubilee. We had a wonderful story in our offices, one of our admin team, and she was just sharing. She said, I've had this seed allergy for, I can't remember how long she said, a long time. And she said, it's something you live with, apart from when you realize that seeds are in everything, but something, she said, I've just been living with it. She said, and then suddenly, I just got healed and I'm fine. And I can eat strawberries. I never missed, you know, I just have been used to not eating those things. And it was like a small thing that she was just tolerating. It wasn't ruining her life. It wasn't destroying her life. But it was just that kind of intolerance, you know, that thing that was just a nagging, oh, I can't eat that. Oh, I can't eat that. You go out for dinner. Can you eat everything? Oh, well, yeah, can't, well, no, not really. It's that kind of feeling. And I just feel like God would say, this is year for some of those things to get broken off. You know, there will come a day when all of that junk gets sorted out. I'm not promising that we're going to see everyone healed or everything sorted. I don't think there's that. But I think God will say this is an extraordinary year to see something significant in a shift on some of those niggles that we've just learned to live with. What you tolerate dominates. And some of us, it's just time to stop tolerating stuff. Some of you, it's just time to say, do you know what? I want to get free from that. It's just I'm tired of tolerating anymore. And then verse 47. If a stranger or a foreigner with you becomes rich, and your brother beside him becomes poor and sells himself to the stranger or a member of the stranger's clan, then after he is sold, he may be redeemed. One of his brothers may redeem him, or his uncle or his cousin might redeem him. You wish you'd been nicer to your cousins, don't you, at that point? Or a close relative from his clan may also redeem him. Or if he grows rich, he might redeem himself. But if he is not redeemed, then he and his children with him shall be released in the year of Jubilee. For it is to me that the people of Israel are servants. They are my servants, whom I brought out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Imagine that, being sold into slavery. Now, slavery is not quite, in those days, wasn't quite like it is in our day, but it still meant a massive limitation to your personal circumstances. There was still huge shame over being a slave. Slavery for you and for your children was just a horrendous thing in any kind of culture, the shame of it. And yet, God says there comes a point when in the year of Jubilee, you get set free from slavery. You get set free from slavery. And he said, there is going to be a kinsman redeemer. Kinsman redeemer is a strange phrase. A kinsman is a relative, and a redeemer is one who can buy you back. Kinsman redeemer would come. And he said, even if he doesn't come, then in the year of Jubilee, then I am the ultimate kinsman redeemer, and everyone gets set free. I mean, you can imagine being set free as a slave before the year of Jubilee. That would be great. But imagine the street party that would happen in the year of Jubilee, when a whole load of slaves got set free at the same time. Some people say, why is it so happy at the King's Arms? It's because of that. Because a whole load of slaves got set free at the same time. They all got set free at the same time, and now they're just hugging each other and saying, wow, we used to be slaves together, and now look, we're set free. He has set us free. And you know what? The sad thing was, though, that as far as the scholars can work out, Jubilee was never actually celebrated. The people of Israel never celebrated Jubilee. I imagine that it was because when they got to that 49th year, and they had to make the choice not to sow, but to trust God for him to break through, they didn't have what it took. It was that step of faith. We don't know why. It was never celebrated. The good news for us, though, is that when Christ came, he said, the 50 years are up. I am the kinsman redeemer. I am the one who is like you. That's why he had to be incarnated. That's why he had to be born like us. I'm the one who is like you. I'm related to you. Yet I have the power to buy you out of your slavery. That's what the cross is all about. He's saying Jubilee has happened now. The shame of your slavery to sin and brokenness. And it worries me because out in the world, the moral shakiness is getting so extreme. I was teaching a lesson at a school recently and asked them, is murder always wrong? And these kids, 12, 13-year-olds, they couldn't give me a yes or no answer. Is it always wrong? Well, no, but if they've hurt you, it might be okay. What? There's a moral wobbliness out there now that is being fed by movies and by video games. It's like, is it? What is right? What is wrong? I tell you what, one day there is going to be a day of justice and we will know what is right and what is wrong. And we will all be on the wrong side of right and wrong. We will all be, the things that we thought were great, God will say, that is black, that is sin. The things that we thought, that's not so bad, everyone else is doing it, God will say, that is evil, that is wrong. That will be the line. That will be the day of justice. And at that day, we will be glad when our kinsman redeemer stands up and says, these ones trusted me that I would pay for them on the cross. That's the day that we look forward to. And we think, you know, financial debt, we have it backwards, I do. You think, oh, financial debt, gosh, can God come through? The scripture's quite clear. If he can pay off your sin, he can do anything. Your sin is a lot harder to deal with. We don't think so. We think, oh, sin, schmin, you know, whatever. Whatever. Can't you just forgive? You know, whatever. No. Sin is the problem in the universe. It is the problem in the universe. Financial debt, God's like, whatever. Sin, now that's something I've got to think about. But he had a plan. And so we step into this, in this great year of Jubilee that he's calling us to. And I feel like the implications for us are massive, that we're to expect this breakthrough of people being brought out of slavery. A year of salvation. A year of people coming through. Perhaps people you've prayed with for years. I remember the story of D.L. Moody. He said that the great evangelist, he said that he prayed for a list of 100 people right the way through his life to give their lives to Christ. 96 of them did before he died. The last 4 gave their lives to Christ at his funeral. At his funeral. This year is a year to renew our prayers for those that have been lost, for those that have been backslidden, for those family members who have been hardened to the gospel, to say, God, I'm not promising, I'm not saying God's going to do it all, but what I'm saying is let's pray for a breakthrough this year, a year of Jubilee, a year where we see a whole host of slaves set free, where this time next year we look back and say, wow, you're here, wow, you're here, you're here, you're here. I never thought that you'd be here. Someone was telling me, I won't name names because it'd be awkward, but they're saying, my friend is here worshipping in church. I can't believe it. I never thought that they would be sitting there with their hands in the air worshipping God. I never dreamed it was possible. I'm praying for more and more stories like that. The impossible to be made possible. It's the year of Jubilee. So, there's lots more that could be said. Enough. Some more about from Pete's word, prophetic word I want to share. Perhaps we'll do that this Thursday and also next Sunday. But I feel like these 5 sentences must stand out for us. Year of Jubilee, it's a line in the sand. It's an unusual year. It's a line to say, let's do something different. It's a line for the fresh fear of God. He's not just our Saviour, He is our Lord. It's time to line our lives up with that. Who is Lord, you or Him? He is Lord. It's a year to trust in supernatural provision. It's a year to believe for the return of that which is rightfully ours. And it's a year of the release from captivity. Pete challenged us in his word. He said, what does it look like after Jubilee? Live as if you are after Jubilee. I think that's so profound. So often we live like we're before Jubilee, but ultimately the year of Jubilee has come. Christ has come. He has proclaimed, I am your kinsman redeemer. Jubilee is here. The year of the Lord's favour is out there for us all to enjoy. Let's pray, shall we? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Yeah, thank you, Father. Thank you, Phil. Thank you, Phil. Enjoyed that. Thank you. Thank you, God. We thank you. And I felt first, there's a number here. The first point was right at the beginning where it was time to draw a line in the sand. Fresh fear of God. You might not be a Christian here this morning. This might be the step for you to recognize, I don't want to live like this anyway. What these guys have got is what I want. For others of you, you're a believer, have been for many years, but there's that gray sludge that has just filled up your soul. And you can feel it even as I'm talking. The stuff you shouldn't be watching, the stuff you shouldn't have bought, the way you've been managing your finances, whatever it might be, there's just this sludge, and it's time to draw a line in the sand. And you say, Father, you are Lord, and I've been living like you're not. So if either of those categories are you, why don't you just stand wherever you are, and let's draw a line in the sand together. I'm standing with you. Just stand wherever you are, and we can just repent together and say, God, we want to trust you for supernatural provision, but it starts with us, as it were, letting go of our ways. That's what this is letting go of our ways and saying, God, we want your way. Some here, it's control and manipulation. It's the way you behave towards people. You're like, I'm tired of living like that. I'm just trying to make this happen my way. God, I want to trust you to do it your way. Thank you, Father. Yeah. Why don't we pray together? I know this is a bit weird if you're not used to it. It's not a Mooney wedding or anything, but let's just pray out loud together and just have a moment before God. Father, we repent for the grey. The stuff that has clogged up our lives. The compromises that we've made. You have called us to be a holy people. And we ask you now for forgiveness and change. To leave that stuff behind. To walk a new way. In Jesus' name. Amen. The scriptures say, and it applies to me as much as to you, as we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to wash us. No matter what kind of mess you've made, He is the one. He is the Redeemer who buys you out of it.